Welcome to the Marketing Millennials, the No BS Marketing Podcast. I'm Daniel Murray, and join me for unfiltered conversations with the brains behind marketing's coolest companies. The one request I tell our guests, stories or it didn't happen. Get ready to turn the f*** up.
AI is kind of like our Iron Man suit. When you're a marketer, if you're good, you put on your AI hat, it's going to help you do things that weren't possible with just your own human capabilities. So the way that I view AI is an augmentation tool. AI lets us do things at scale that we never were able to do before. You can create 200 landing pages in an afternoon. You can now create 100 videos in the matter of a weekend. Because of AI, we now have the ability to do things that we simply couldn't do before. And I think the best marketers will recognize that these tools aren't here to completely replace us. They need us to actually be excellent.
Typeform. Forms that break the norm. Get more data like signups, feedback, and anything else with forms that are designed to be refreshingly different. Learn more and get started for free at Typeform.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Millennials. Today, I have a repeat guest, but he's always dropping knowledge, Ross Simmons. Welcome to the pod again, Ross.
Daniel, thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here. I always get a lot of DMs, a lot of messages every time I chat with you. So I'm excited and hopefully I can drop some knowledge bombs on folks today.
For people who haven't listened to your previous episode, do you want to give the 60-second, 90-second of who you are and we can get into the talk?
Yeah, so my name is Ross Simmons. I'm a digital marketing strategist. I've been obsessed with the internet since I was a young pup when I had a fantasy football blog that paid for a good chunk of my tuition and I was creating content on that. Then I translated that experience into everything from working with startups to some of the biggest B2B SaaS companies in the world. I eventually launched Foundation, which is a content marketing firm that works with literally some of the biggest SaaS companies and cloud companies in the world and running their content marketing engine, creating content, distributing content, optimizing content, and using content to push the needle as it relates to revenue. I'm a dad. I love fantasy football. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and I geek out all the time on whatever tools are out there in the internet. So I've been geeking out a lot on AI, and hopefully today we can dive in a little bit on that as well.
Let's dive right into it because I think a lot of content marketers are scared of this wave of AI because they're scared they're going to be replaced.
Right.
But what are your thoughts on AI and content?
The future of AI and content looks a lot more like one of my favorite movies, which is Iron Man, than most people think. And what I mean by that is AI is kind of like our Iron Man suit. When you're a marketer, if you're good, you put on your AI hat, aka it could be ChatGPT, it could be any of the various tools that exist out there. It's going to help you do things that weren't possible with just your own human capabilities. So the way that I view AI is an augmentation tool. AI lets us do things at scale that we never were able to do before. You can create 200 landing pages in an afternoon. That wasn't feasible 2-3 years ago. You can now create 100 videos in the matter of a weekend. That was impossible before. Because of AI, we now have the ability to do things that we simply couldn't do before. And I think the best marketers will recognize that these tools aren't here to completely replace us. They need us to actually be excellent. If you use AI flat out completely, the tool as it exists, you're probably going to get something mediocre. But when you apply your own perspective, your knowledge, your experience to that AI, you're able to unlock something special. The best AI created videos are created by people who have production background. The best Midjourney prompts and the best content that I see coming out of that type of a tool come from people who have an art direction background or photography background, or in general, they understand imagery and visuals at a level that the average person wouldn't. Similar with written content. If you give a bad writer an AI tool, you're still going to get bad content. But if you give a great writer an AI tool, you're going to get great content much faster and much more efficiently. So long story, a little bit longer. My belief on AI is that it is an augmentation tool for humans to be able to do things that they never were able to do before. And the greats are going to be able to differentiate themselves even further from the mediocre and the average because they now have AI to do more.
You still have to know what great looks like.
Yeah.
And you have to know what great looks like. You have to be, have done it and been great at it. And I think a lot of, if you, a lot of people who are putting out AI content, you could tell it's AI content because the great people who have been writers for a long time understand what great writing is. And they understand that AI is just putting together some good thoughts, some good ideas, some good structure, but you have to add in your unique thoughts, your unique style, your unique personality into that, that content to make it better and more relatable to your audience.
Exactly. It's like I have this philosophy around content market fit. And when you're trying to find content market fit, the reality is an AI can't do that. Content market fit is the understanding of a certain audience that you're trying to connect with and the types of content that is going to resonate with this group time and time again. AI is not able to, up to this point, be able to pick up those nuances. But you as an expert should have such a deep understanding of your audience, your customers, the people you're trying to connect with, that when AI writes a blog post for you, you can quickly say, this introduction is so fluffy and it's filled with so many adjectives that this isn't going to resonate with my people. When you're leveraging AI to create a graphic, you should be able to say, yeah, this image doesn't yet fit my audience's belief on what content excellence looks like. And thus, you should be augmenting and adjusting the outputs that AI gives you based off of your deep understanding of your audience and the people you're trying to connect with. The same thing exists with like channels like LinkedIn. Instead of just using AI to say, hey, create a post for me on LinkedIn, get that output. Understand the best practices of what it takes to have a great hook. Use the best practices in your mind of understanding what your audience cares about. Incorporate that in the message. Deliver it to your audience faster than you could have before on the back of AI.
I want to go into some things that you've been using AI and examples that you've seen that have worked well for you, because I bet you've probably been testing it a ton.
Yeah, like for me, I'm a big believer in content distribution. As you know, we also have an episode on content distribution. But when it comes to content distribution, I think it's unlocking so much more potential for brands thanks to AI. And what I mean by that is one of my favorite use cases, I wrote a blog post and that blog post generated a lot of links. It generated a lot of traffic and people loved it. Great. That was the first job. I shared it on social. I got some engagement. Cool. But time went on. And over time, it's continued to rank in Google, but I wanted to see how this piece could exist in a different format. So I took the content that made up this blog post and I took it over to ChatGPT and I said, ChatGPT, turn this into a script and act like you're Mr. Beast and you created this script. So ChatGPT then created a script for that blog post that broke down everything there is to know about this topic. I then took that script and I uploaded it to a tool called 11 Labs. 11 Labs is an audio AI tool. It's an audio AI tool where I had to upload episodes of myself on different podcasts, and it essentially replicated my voice. It then was able to take the text that I took from ChatGPT, combine it with this audio to create an entire audio experience that wasn't actually me. So this output was about 7 minutes long of me talking about a certain topic, on-site SEO, and I uploaded that content, that audio clip, directly to a video player. I connected that to Canva, uploaded a handful of images and graphics and videos, and then in the matter of probably, I'd say 3 hours or so, I had now developed a complete video of myself talking about a topic, but it wasn't actually me talking. And now it lives on YouTube, is now embedded in these pieces, now helps move me up the ranking in the SERP. And this is a process that can be applied to pretty much every blog post. So the idea is simple. You take one blog post, you turn that into a script, you leverage AI to read the script so you don't actually have to use your own voice. Then you upload it to YouTube with video, with visuals, etc., and then you launch it. Most recently, though, I've been even toying with video AI, where it creates a deep fake of yourself. And I've been tapping into a tool called HeyGen, where it's trying to actually mimic my own mannerisms. It's trying to pick up my hand gestures, my facial features, how I move, when I get angry, all of those things, the wrinkles, all the stuff shows up in this content. And it's the same process. I upload a script, it reads the script, I can adjust the pitch, the tone, the voice, etc., share that on social, and it resonates with people. So I think content repurposing, if you have an immediate idea that has content market fit and you take that and you distribute it using AI, it's an amazing win for marketers today.
I think I also want to go deeper into which part of the process for you is How much is it, do you care about that original thought versus that distribution? Because I think it seems like the input is your original thoughts. The output is just scaling your original thoughts to multiple platforms. That's what I'm getting from it.
You're spot on. I'm working on a book called Create Once, Distribute Forever. And in that book, I talk about this idea of your first idea that you actually want to then decide, oh, this is worth promoting, is kind of like a test. So you need to have a handful of different ideas being published all the time. And when you start to see traction on these individual ideas, that means that you have content market fit, that the audience liked this idea. So it starts with that. And then you start to think of the ways in which that idea can be amplified. Over the last few years, I've leveraged this strategy time and time again. I will send out a post on X, I'll send out a post on LinkedIn, and I will see whether or not this resonates with an audience. If it resonates with an audience, then I know that this is something that hit something inside of the audience, and I'm now going to amplify and repurpose and repackage this in a whole bunch of different ways. It could just be a one-liner, and if that gets tons of people sharing it, commenting, arguing, debating it, then I know I've got something. So then I take that, and with AI, I start to say, AI, how else can I say the same idea in different ways? And then it gives me a bunch of different tweets and a bunch of posts that I can now share on social and schedule through tools like Buffer, Hootsuite, et cetera. So it gives me a calendar of content that I know is rooted in the same idea, but said in different ways. Or I say, great, this idea is resonating with people. I'm now going to write an in-depth blog post that breaks it all down. And then I'm going to use AI to identify some of the key points in this blog post that can then be resurfaced, or turn that blog post into a carousel that can live on LinkedIn or on Instagram, whatever it might be. So yes, you are 100% correct in my hypothesis being it starts with the idea. You need an idea that's going to resonate. And once you see traction in that idea, it's time to make that thing spread.
At the end of the day, what are some of the goals you're trying to achieve with doing this? Because one of the things you said, obviously, is, okay, I'm going to improve my search ranking because I'm getting more content out there. What are some other goals are you trying to achieve when scaling this process?
Yeah, so when B2B, when we're talking to partners and clients about how distribution in general leads to their ideal result, which is an increase in business, et cetera, we go down two key paths. The first one is based off of reach and brand awareness. So we're thinking about things like impressions. We're thinking about social referral traffic. So how much referral traffic are you generating? We're thinking about things like your share of voice in the market, like how much more conversations are happening on social for you versus your competition. These are things that we care about at more of the top of funnel. And then at the bottom of funnel, we're also thinking about conversion, pipeline influence, how much revenue is coming on the back of these different distribution channels. And we log in to tools like HubSpot to see, okay, how much of this pipeline was influenced by LinkedIn, by X, by Reddit, by whatever channel it is that we're distributing stories on. And then we use that as essentially our starting point to say, okay, these metrics matter to you. We are now going to track them and own them as we go through our process. For me, I run Foundation, which is a B2B SaaS content marketing firm. When I am looking at social and I'm looking at my metrics, I'm looking at those two things mostly. How much impressions, how much reach are we getting? Are we seeing essentially our brand being in front of more people? And then secondary, at the end of each month, I'm looking to see, okay, how much of the pipeline, how many leads that actually inquired about our services came from a thread, came from a comment on LinkedIn, came from a dialogue that I was having on a podcast or a reshare that I had on TikTok or Instagram, whatever it might be. Because we also have in our form that question, how did you hear about us? Just yesterday, I had a lead come in that said, I've been following Ross since 2019. And I just saw a post on Reddit where someone shared a piece of content that he developed back in 2021. And I'm like, the reason why all of this is possible is because we've distributed our content in so many different channels that we have the opportunity to be present in all of the places where our audience is spending time.
One thing I also want to bring up too, because I think people are going to miss this part about your story, is that you have built trust as an expert in the industry, so you're able to do this. Some people need to be able to build that expertise up before they can scale their unique voice. They can obviously, AI can help you scale that expertise so you can be in more places and more ones, but still you have to, it's going to take time for people to get to the level of that. But it's cool because once you've proven over that 6, 9, 12 months that you've become an expert, you have expertise, you have original thoughts, you're doing the right thing, this becomes even a more powerful tool because now you're scaling that expertise out of the audience.
You're spot on. I'm going to geek out a bit. Like, I don't know how many of your listeners ever heard of the game The Sims, but The Sims is essentially the simulation where you control a person and that person gets to have like relationships with people and you can increase the trust battery or the relationship level that they have with other people. I think about me as essentially a sim and the internet as being something that I need to build a relationship with. When I first came into the industry, after selling do-rags out of my locker, after running a fantasy football blog, I had no connection to the digital marketing world. I live in Nova Scotia, which is a small spot on the east coast of Canada, population less than 1 million. But I needed to increase my trust with the internet, with everybody who I wanted to eventually sell to, work with, collaborate with, especially if I wanted to connect with CEOs and CMOs at some of the top publicly traded companies in SaaS. It needed to be done. So how did I do it? I made a commitment to myself that to get these battery points, to get this trust in the industry, I needed to give away a ton of value away for free as frequently as possible. So I found communities, I found channels of the internet where my audience was spending time, and I decided with intention that I was going to create ridiculously in-depth and valuable assets that these people would find value in completely for free. And when they consumed it, it would increase my relationship battery with the internet. And as that battery continued to rise and continued to grow, eventually I got to a point where I was able to start making withdrawals, where I was able to start saying, hey folks, it turns out I run an agency. Maybe you would be interested in this. But it didn't start that way. It started with the sole intention of giving so much value to the community that they would have no question that they would come to me when they needed some help. And I think for anyone getting started in their career, if you already have a gig, great. In your spare and extra time, find those communities, find those Slack channels, find those networks, and start to think of ways that you can be the most valuable person in those communities. And if you do that, you're going to unlock a ridiculous amount of value, not only in trust battery with the internet, but also you're going to make connections that you would probably at this point even view as like industry idols, people that you wish you could work with someday.
One thing I want to also ask you is like, what is, so the input is original thought, creativity, idea. What is the process behind that before you even use AI? How do you come up with that original thought?
You have to stay curious and you have to constantly be inside of the places where your audience is spending time. So at Foundation, what we spend a lot of time doing with our partners and even myself, I've done over the years, is we have a process around understanding the stories that your audience cares about. You're going to go into a community like a subreddit or a Slack channel where you know your ideal customer is spending time. And then you're going to start to read the comments on posts. You're going to start to study the conversations that are happening, and you're going to see what trends are showing up time and time again. If you notice that in this specific odd industry, every single week, people are asking a certain question, then it's probably a good idea for you to create content that answers that question. And if you answer that question in depth with lots of insight and lots of original thought, you can now go back to that community and share it with them. And say, I've been a longtime lurker of this community. I get a lot of value from it. I notice this question comes up time and time again. Here's an idea and here's my perspective on it. So you can do that by just being curious and caring about the problems that your audience wants. But in addition to that, I believe in getting inspiration from other communities and other niches. So for me, in B2B SaaS, I can constantly get caught up in our SaaS communities and our spaces and just like constantly ride that wheel. Or I can say, I wonder what mummy bloggers are talking about in their Facebook groups. And then I go in and it turns out that mummy bloggers are starting to talk all the time about some type of baby-led weaning or something like that. Or they're talking about some other concept that is exclusively to them. Cool. What inspiration can I get from that? maybe I notice that they're doing content in a certain way. Maybe I notice that they're doing Ask Me Anything campaigns, or they're doing webinars, or maybe I notice that they're doing these things called a day in the life. And then from that, I'm inspired to say, maybe people want a day in the life of a CEO or a day in the life of a marketer. And I take inspiration from those ideas and apply them to our industry. So they're not exactly original. They're a replication and a remix from a different space applied to my industry and applied to the relevance that my audience would be interested in. So the ideas start with general curiosity about the problems that your audience has, and then constantly being okay with the idea of getting inspiration from segments within the internet that might have nothing to do with your audience and nothing to do with your space.
More ways to grow your business with Typeform. Collect more and better data with forms that embed where people see them, from web to email. Typeform can help you ask the right questions at the right time to reveal deeper insights about your customers and prospects. Learn more and get started for free at typeform.com.
The amount of consuming you have to do to be a great creator is next level, because really what creating is taking all these dots of information that you have figured out. Like you saying, I found something in the mommy blogger community, or I found something in fantasy football community, and I found something in the marketing community, and now I have a cool marketing idea. How could I connect into that cool thing? But you wouldn't be able to do that if you're just only creating. You have to get depth, consume, get ideas, and then connect those dots. And that's also something that you don't even know what to put into AI, because you don't even have those dots to put into AI yet. You don't know it's a good idea yet until you can connect them yourselves and then tell AI, hey, here are the two obsolete ideas. What could we do with these two things to make a cool script or a cool thing? And then you can add your perspective into it as well. So
I think that's where the power lies, right? The power lies in your ability to take your own knowledge, your own perspective, your own lived experiences, and combine it with AI, plus combine it with your understanding of your audience to make something special. It's when you can go and say, hey, AI, I want you to operate in this unique, interesting way, where let's say you wanted to create a campaign that was related to a video game that only you know. You're going to ask AI to go into that world. Hey, AI, I want you to pretend that you are the creator of this video game, and I want you to take the ideas that you would have there and apply them to B2B, SaaS, CRM tools and solutions. What would you come up with? AI is going to give you a bunch of ideas. Some of them are going to be trash. Some of them are going to be okay. And some of them are going to be great. You're going to identify the ones that are great, because only you would be able to figure that out. And you're going to start turning that into a piece of content that you can repurpose, you can repackage. So to your point, bring your own perspective, your own knowledge, your experience to the AI, work with it, use it, and then let that be your guiding path forward as you start thinking about ways to distribute your content.
Also, what I love about it is that it's a testing and scale mechanism, because obviously you might think there's 45 great ideas here, but even if you look at the good idea, this idea might be good. You could put your spin to it, put it on the market, test it. If it sucks, at least you know, but you wouldn't have had that idea if you didn't put any time in scaling and trying to do this. So I think that's also what I love about AI is that you could start testing. I've also tested different newsletter researching stuff, things. And then what I do too is I've noticed that even if you put inputs in all your newsletters you've written and all the stuff, it still doesn't 100% get your voice down immediately. So you just go in there and add that paintbrush, those little paint strokes to make it, that personality is cleaned up. But usually information-wise and facts-wise, AI is pretty darn good at getting that in there.
Yeah, 100%. It's great at giving you the core essence of an idea, but it's not exactly there yet when it comes to adding that emotional layer to the content that ensures that you get a bunch of people replying back saying, I love every newsletter that you sent. This is so good. Thank you so much. You don't get the replies that you would expect when you were just using AI to press publish on a bunch of content. That comes from that human understanding of what's going to drive action, what's going to drive an inspiring reply and response from directly from the channel. We've seen AI work well with like conversion driven email campaigns. Like, for example, if I'm trying to sell a product and I'm launching something, we could use the same script or the same like email that was written, let's say, 6 months ago to promote a different product, ask AI to rewrite that with the certain new product, share some insights around the features of this new product, et cetera, and it will probably do a pretty good job. You can add a little bit of human touch to it, but it's probably going to be close enough for you to be able to just smash that send button. So there are some use cases for distribution where I think AI can be extremely useful. And one of them is when the CTA is very direct. If you just want people to go and read a new blog post, if you just want people to go and buy a new product that you launched, if you want people to just go and schedule a demo with something because you just launched a new webinar, whatever it might be, AI can be really good at taking an old script and writing that four different ways for four different launches, for four different courses, for five different products. That is a real opportunity that exists. But when it comes to the educational, entertaining content, it's still falling down and not exactly there yet.
I also think that that's why now's the time for people who are building to scale their personality and scale themselves, because this is like probably one of the hottest times, because once you get to the point of that AI is doing more and more and more and more, that trust factor in new people, which is, I hate to say, is going to get harder and harder because people are going to trust content less and less. This is my prediction, just because I just think just how news outlets started getting less trustworthy. Now, like humans, if you haven't built a deep relationship with the audience that they know you, and that's why in person is going to become even bigger as well, because you can't deep fake in person. You can't deep fake it.
People will always connect with people. At the end of the day, as much as we love AI and technology, humans are still going to connect with people. We're still a ball of emotions and chemicals that react in the physical touch, the in-person conversations, the actual ability to break bread, share a meal. Those things are irreplaceable. And as much as I wish you could build the same level of relationship by just having a conversation on with a webinar or with a podcast, the truth is people connect with people, and that relationship gets so much more deeper when you do it in person. Yes, distribute your content, distribute your stories. That's my belief and that's my MO. But if you can distribute yourself in person to connect with people, do that just the same. I think you're spot on. This is why I get on the road and go to events. It's because I know that in those relationships, in those rooms, is where I can build an increase, to go back to the Sims analogy, that trust battery and that relationship that I have with people so much more deeply. So that is, you're right. I 100% agree that in person is going to have a surge of energy from the market at large.
What are some tools you would recommend people to start testing out for AI today?
One of my favorite tools, because I'm a big audio guy, if you check out my podcast, Create Like the Greats, I have an episode about audio AI. And 11 Labs is the leader, in my opinion, on the audio AI side. I strongly encourage people to use it and check it out, experiment with it, and run your own experiments. You can upload audio clips from your own voice, and it will replicate that, and you can do some amazing things with it. I'm also a big fan of Midjourney. So Midjourney allows you to kind of create and develop pretty much any visual that you can think of. I've been tinkering with Midjourney not only on a professional side, but also on a personal side, trying to see, can I create, using Midjourney, a board game? Can I use Midjourney to create a video game? These are things that you can do now that were not possible unless you had a huge production team, unless you had a huge like development team, designer team, etc. Midjourney now makes that easier. I'm also a huge fan of HeyGen, which combines essentially video AI with audio AI. I've been finding that to be a pretty cool technology. Runway ML is more on the side of like cinematography. So you can upload any graphic and it will give that graphic life, which has been cool. And then if we want to get on the content side, Foundation's been a user of Jasper for quite some time, which is used for writing content in depth. We've experimented with tools like copy.ai, and I know I'm giving you folks a ton of tools, but I'll leave you with just one more. And another AI tool that we've been using and loving is Phrase. So that's more on the SEO side, F-R-A-S-E, where you're able to understand what's going on in the SERP, and then it gives you, leveraging AI, a better rundown on what type of content you should be creating and producing, and analyzes all of the pieces. This is stuff that we used to do with Google Sheets manually, and now it's able to be done all in one tool. So those are some of the tools. If you want more tools, find me on LinkedIn, find me on X. I'm happy to share them with folks and send over even more tools that I've been playing with over the last few months.
One thing before this call I found out is that Ross is releasing a book in April, and I didn't know this before this podcast, which is amazing. But I want to be selfish in this moment and just ask, like, what is one of your biggest takeaways in your book? You don't have to tell all of them, but give a little sneak peek of, like, what is one of the takeaways that someone will get from the book.
Yeah, and selfishly, I'm going to send you a copy so you can check it out, and I'll sign it and keep it all fancy for you too. So create once, distribute forever. If you're interested in the book, you can check it out at rossimmons.com. It'll be on my website. Subscribe to my newsletter, and I'll be sure to get it to you. But essentially, the biggest takeaway that I had was I spent a lot of time over the last 3 years while writing the book to understand the traction and growth of businesses. And across the board, one of the biggest observations is simple. The best product doesn't always win. The product that has the best distribution wins. When you look at a ton of different industries, a ton of different creators and solutions, the best product doesn't always sit at number one. What sits at number one is the brand that knew how to distribute its story most effectively. It's the creator that may have already had a baked-in audience and they were able to spread their story to it. Or it was the product that tapped into an influencer network, combined forces, and they let that story spread faster than the product that was already to the market and was already good. Whether you look at actual Microsoft and how they leveraged IBM, whether you look at Airbnb and how they leveraged Craigslist, or you look at a lot of the content creators today and how they leverage social channels to spread their story, the best product doesn't win. And this can be depressing. It can be depressing because it's not just products. It's also blog posts. It's also videos. It's also podcasts. Some of the best creators of all time, I believe, exist right now, but nobody knows about them. Nobody knows that they have good stories. Nobody's subscribing to their YouTube channel. No one even follows them on social, but they have some amazing ideas. They have game-changing ideas, but those ideas will never see the forefront. They'll never see the shining lights. They'll never see a big stage because that person doesn't understand the importance of distribution. And with this book, my goal is simple. I want to arm people with the toolkit that they can have to distribute those stories, just like we've been talking about, at scale consistently, so they can go from being obscure to actually being a household name. And that's the goal of the book.
That's going to be an excellent read. I've also been like tinkering with the way I've been framing content to people too. Is like, I've been saying that content, you have to think of content like a product. And if you think about it like a product, you think of the logistics of the product, the innovation of the product, who the product's for, the investment of the product, all those pieces. The problem with a lot of people is they think of it as, hey, let's have it as a nice to have in my business, or I need to have a blog post, or I need to do this because everybody else is doing it. But if you think of it as a core product in your business, you think about these things of, okay, how am I going to get this cool product out to the masses?
Exactly.
And how am I going to make it the best product for the masses? Like, you have to think like that to make sure your product is great. That's why media companies are so great, because the content is the product. And that's why the mentality of when people say act like a media company, they're not saying like actually be a media company. They're saying that you have to think of content like a product. You have to think of content as the thing that is going to make your, for the audience. You can't just think of it as a nice to have or a way to sell in your business. And you got to think about a way to make the best thing for your audience to come back to time and time again.
100%. And when you think back historically, like, the reason why media companies kind of went through a transitionary period where they went from being these great businesses to kind of being these floundering ones is in the early days of newspaper, they had distribution to every single human's front door because they had paper boys, paper girls dropping off the newspapers directly at your door. That is direct distribution to the human. Then insert this thing called a phone. Now the phones have distribution where they're in my pocket. Now that distribution channel that once exists is starting to get cut off because I don't need to wait until the morning and you deliver my paper to get the news. I can pull up my phone. I don't have to even walk downstairs. I can just open my phone and I get it. So the distribution network completely got disrupted. Now the newspapers, the media companies had to think differently. How do we now reach this audience consistently? You have to distribute your stories. You have to know where your audience is. You have to run ads. You have to be active on all of these different channels. The distribution channels for the original media companies completely got flipped on its head. And that is the thinking that every brand needs to understand. When people say think like a media company, they're not talking about the newspapers of the 1990s. They're talking about the media companies that exist today, like Marvel's and Disney's, that are creating stories and giving you a full funnel or a full cycle of ways in which that story is being told, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's in a YouTube video, whether it's a Super Bowl ad, whether it's a radio spot, whether it's a product like a cup, a mug, you name it. You have to think that way with your product, aka your content. Think about all of the holistic ways you can get that story to spread.
What is a marketing hill you would die on?
A marketing hill that I would die on is that a lot of the most successful B2B companies today have already created enough content for them to win in many ways in search, in social, in all of the different things. What they actually need to do is not start to create net new content. They need to optimize the pieces that they wrote in 2018. They need to optimize the pieces they wrote in 2019, 2020, and 2021 to compete better in the SERP. And they need to take these old assets and they need to spread them. They need to distribute them. They need to amplify them. So many brands are sitting on a plethora of content gold, white papers, webinars, resources, assets that they've invested in, but they let them collect dust. They treat them like content leftovers that get moldy and they just leave them alone. Instead of optimizing those pieces with new references to their products, resharing them to their email list, uploading them to LinkedIn, resharing them on X, repurposing and repackaging those old assets. That is a hill that I will die on.
I always say that to people because so many people, there are probably one or two people that are going to remember that you ever put out that piece of content. Exactly. And it also, it's crazy if you've done tests before, even if you put out a new, the same concept a week later, people are going to still say, oh my goodness, that's genius, even though, and forget that you posted that a week ago. It's just you, a lot of people internally are afraid that people are going to think that when it's not true, that people only think about you for those like 5 to 15 seconds you put out something, and then they're going on to the next piece of content. They might have an aha moment. You might have inspired their day. You might have done something to make them do it. They might have saved or shared to a friend. Even if they did that, there's so many other new people that didn't get that experience. So you have more people to do that to in that moment.
I 100% agree. We think about ourselves more than anybody else in the world. Nobody thinks about us as much as us. And for some reason, a lot of brands and a lot of businesses think that they make up the vast majority of the mind share that these people have. They don't care. They don't care about your one post. They're too worried about whether or not they have to shovel their driveway. They're trying to figure out how they're going to afford the next bill. They're not worried that much about the fact that you've reposted something that you shared 2 weeks ago. We have to get over ourselves. We have to recognize that people have lives that go beyond what we are creating. And yes, we can inspire them. We can engage them. We can educate them. But they probably got 5 other tabs open. Probably have a to-do list with 20 other things. And they probably have somebody knocking on their door saying, hey, can you make me a coffee or can you get me some milk? Whatever it might be, right? Like we have to get out of this idea that just because 10 people saw something on Monday doesn't mean that those same 10 people are going to happen to be logged in on Wednesday at 3 p.m. when you reshare it the next week.
If you're doing the right thing, your audience is always growing. And you've got to keep reintroducing your beliefs, your ideas, your core stance to the new people that are coming into your audience. It's just like marketing. You have to keep your message top of mind multiple times so people can get in someone's head. And there's always new people who's going to come in your audience. So you have to keep reintroducing it for someone who hasn't heard it for the first time. So you have to keep thinking like that when you're creating content.
I love that. I would 100% RT, retweet, repost, reshare. That is the message that I would distribute forever.
Lastly, where can people find you? What you're doing? Where can people pre-order your book? All these good things.
So I'm on all the social media channels. If you want to connect on Instagram, you can find me on there. Just do a quick search for Ross Simmons. If you want to find me on LinkedIn, Ross Simmons, send me a connection request. I'd love to be connected. Just be sure to say, like, I heard you on Marketing Millennials, so I know that you're not one of the millions of spammers out there. And then in addition to that, you can check out my podcast, Create Like the Greats, and subscribe to my newsletter to get early access to the book, rosssimmons.com. Check it out, subscribe, and I'll be sure to get you an early access and copy. But Daniel, thank you for having me on. I hope your audience got value out of it. And folks, if you did get value out of it, be sure to hit me up and drop a 5-star review for Daniel and the folks at Marketing Millennials.
I appreciate you. And Ross, go follow him. You always drop it. Every time I get on, I get hyped up for the day every time I listen to Ross talk. So thank you so much for coming on the pod, sharing your knowledge, always coming up with new types of content for people to relate to. So thank you so much.
I appreciate you.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to hear more great insights from marketing's coolest operators. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the Marketing Millennials podcast and giving it a 5-star rating. It helps bring more marketers into our community.